Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezvik here with you on this Thursday morning. And as we do every Thursday morning at 8 o'clock, we go to our 102.5, The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, brought to you by the NFL Alumni Association. Charles, good morning. How you doing?
How you doing, gentlemen?
We're awesome. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. Charles, the Jalen Hurts contract. It is a big one. 5 years, $255 million, a little bit more than $179 million guaranteed. What did you make of that deal for Jalen Hurts and how that kind of reshapes the quarterback market as we move forward here?
Yeah, I mean, it's a monster and it's real. It's, you know, you're talking about around $180 million in guarantees that are very legitimate. And if you're the Eagles, I swear you, I've never seen, what's crazy about Hurts to me is that I've never seen a player just on that trajectory who has gone from, you know, being drafted and being a slightly controversial draft pick for the Eagles, because obviously they had cast their lot with Carson Wentz at that point. And it was sort of an interesting draft because it occurred, it was that COVID draft where everybody was at home. And I remember when Howie Roseman had taken Hurts in the second round, I had some people who were like, you know what? Not everybody in the team was super thrilled that ended up happening in the second round. Like, if everybody had been in the facility together, like a normal draft, maybe Howie might've been talked out of it by other people in the room, and we might have taken him a little later in the draft or whatever. It was a little controversial, I think, even inside the organization. But you go from a guy who was basically drafted as a backup in year one, year two, he becomes a starter, and then year three, he leads the team to a Super Bowl, and suddenly he's the highest paid APY player in the NFL. I've never seen anything like that before, and yet still a player that I think is continuing to develop. And what's just so crazy about this deal is that if this goes wrong, I mean, it's wrong on an epic scale. I mean, it's like the Deshaun Watson contract where I called it like a, you know, an extinction level contract, because if you get this one wrong, you're going to pay for it for a number of years. It's going to cost you, you know, cause you to be in a position where you likely have to strip down a large majority of your roster to get past it. And that's a heck of a lot of belief in Jalen Hurts. And I'm not saying it's not warranted, but it's remarkable because it's not like it's just the general manager. It's the owner that was on board with this. And it will shape and change, I think, some other contracts going forward somewhat in the way that Deshaun Watson's will, because there's no way, unless there's just an absolute crash in you know, how they play or their performance, you know, Justin Herbert, I think Trevor Lawrence is in line for a deal that exceeds this. Joe Burrow, and what's really interesting about all those franchises, outside of maybe the Jaguars, I would expect that Mike Brown and the Bengals, that the Spanos family and Herbert, they're going to have a really hard time getting this deal done, docked with those players, just because of how they've managed their franchises previously with money. So, whew, and Lamar Jackson, I think this is the baseline, and if the Ravens won't do at least this deal, the Ravens and Lamar Jackson are never going to come to terms on a contract extension.
It's quarterback talking season right now, Charles. We continue to try to figure out the riddle of Trey Lance here.
Yeah.
And you gave us some I mean, you gave us some good stuff recently, you know, on the mindset there. Now, I think it was Rappaport, right? Had something this with Rappaport. Yeah, that, you know, the teams are calling them. But now you've also got, you know, this obvious uncertainty about Brock Purdy's status. Like, where do you think this is going with Trey Lance?
You typically don't want Brock Purdy to admit that, you know, hey, I don't know about 2023. you know. Even I was like, wow, all right. You just straight up said, maybe I
shut up, Brock.
I want to play 2023. So, yeah, I mean, it's look, first off, we could have read into that. When they go out and get Sam Darnold, you know, you're picking up veteran options that give you the flexibility of making sure that you have someone who can walk into the starting job there if needed on an interim basis. But, yeah, I mean, the Lance thing, first off, for this whole report that, oh, hey, they're having people call about Trey Lance, that's a team that's putting a player on the block without putting a player on the block, basically just saying, like, letting it be known that, yeah, we've had people call, so if you're interested in calling, make sure you call us now. Because
phone lines are open.
Yeah, exactly. Going out of business. it's funny too, because so I was talking to a guy, I mean, late last night, an AFC personnel guy, and we were sort of talking about where the team was at on Lance, and he said this line that's so perfect. He's like, "Look, in personnel, one of the things we always tell ourselves is be wrong quickly." And it's such a perfect like statement, because it's like, if you screw up, just go ahead and be wrong on that as soon as possible and get it out the door. And when we were talking about Lance, he said, look, I kind of understand where the 49ers would be on him. Yeah, they invested a ton of draft capital into him. Yeah, this is going to look a little bit embarrassing. But if he's not the guy and you know it and you're the 49ers, all he does moving forward is eat up headlines, eat up attention, eat up sort of negativity surrounding the franchise about how you screwed up. So just get him out and be done with it. And, you know, so he said, that's how I look at the 49ers handling this with Trey Lance right now, is you just don't want to keep relitigating how maybe you messed up, you know, this draft situation with him, and you're going with a guy who right now just had, you know, elbow surgery, and you don't even know whether or not this guy's going to be on the field. And he said, but that's also indicative of, I asked him, what do you think about the draft capital that would have to be surrendered to get him? And he said, well, look at it this way. You have a retread in Sam Darnold that you brought in. You have a player who's just undergone elbow surgery, and you don't know whether or not he's going to be on the field in 2023, which he's all but admitted. And yet you're still trying to deal Trey Lance now. He said that kind of tells you what they can really expect in draft capital. And he shredded anyone out there. And, you see it on Twitter. It's not really realistic, but occasionally you'll see someone that has a solid background to them in terms of NFL reporting suggesting that, oh, like, just offer up the I saw somebody said maybe the Texans should offer the 12th overall pick for him. like he's not kidding. Guys, he's not getting the 12th. He's not getting a first-round pick. I don't think he's getting a second-round pick. I think maybe, depending on how a trade would have been structured, Trey Lance might be worth like a third rounder right now. But, you know, it's one of those situations where maybe Trey Lance needs a fresh start, potentially. Or I'll say this to you. Go back and look at every top three NFL-drafted quarterback who changed teams this quickly. How many of them ever had success? It's, you know, or really just change teams inside of that 5-year window that teams have control. Not many NFL quarterbacks that flame out this fast inside that 5-year window have ever had success ever again. So if you just run into analytics on it alone, don't give up a lot, because it's likely that there's a reason why the 49ers would be bailing on Trey Lance right now. And it's not Brock Purdy, who this evaluator said last night, he's got a pop gun for an arm, and you're still choosing that guy over Trey Lance at this stage.
Okay, but I don't understand. There's just something missing, obviously, here, where it's like they gave him this opportunity. He barely played. He gets hurt.
Right.
How is anyone convinced of what they know what this guy is?
Because he's been in house. You go through the draft process, and it's one of my favorite things to ever hear. And you and I we just talked about S2, right, last week on this show. And that's a cognitive scoring, you know, test now, right? And so Trey Lance, you go through the draft process, and I remember hearing, oh, he's so great on the board. He's so great on the whiteboard. And there has to be an ability to transfer what you can do in the classroom and regurgitating things and then going out and playing the game and showing your ability to still be not great on the board, but being great in real life when you have all these things flying around you. So I think, remember, not only have they seen him on the field, but they've seen him in practice for a really long time. And the last time I was through there in practice when Trey Lance was healthy and throwing the football, he was having a hard time hitting the broadside of a barn. Like, he's very inaccurate in just in practice. And I'm like, wow, this isn't – I remember going through that practice and going, Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be the starting quarterback. There's no way the way this guy's playing right now that even though they brought Jimmy Garoppolo back under weird, awkward circumstances, that Lance isn't ultimately going to be the guy, or that Jimmy's not going to ultimately be the guy. And that's what happened. So that's all I can tell you, is when you've had him in the organization long enough, and particularly being, you know, Kyle being who he is, he runs super hot and cold with guys. I think if you're an acquiring team, the one thing you would really hope is that Kyle is super impatient with quarterbacks, and maybe he's just been too impatient too quickly with this guy. And I talked to another GM yesterday. I think it's applicable to the Trey Lance situation. He straight up told the GM straight up told me, look, if you're drafting a quarterback now who's not instantly ready to step on the field, like as in as soon as he walks in the facility after you draft him, never start him in year one. He said it's a huge mistake. He said nowadays, the way social media is, and everything, we burn quarterbacks to the ground quicker now than we ever have ever before. Don't start a guy in year one ever. Don't put those expectations on a guy in year one. Let him develop properly. And even though the 49ers in some respects tried to do that with Trey, they did trot him out there, and it didn't look great right away.
So what do you think the interest will be in him? Because, like, to me, Charles, if you go get him, he's got to start for you, and he's got to play for right. you, because you got to figure out if you're going to pick up the fifth-year option.
I don't know. I don't know that he has to – I understand what you're saying about the contract, like where he is on the contract because of that whole fifth-year option, but it's a low-risk low-risk acquire at this point. You're not going to give up – likely anything more than a middle round pick. I think if you get into that second, you know, round territory, okay, that's probably smacks of a little desperation, because I just don't think that's his market right now. But look, let me put it to you this way. I understand the idea that, well, geez, you got to pick up this fifth year option. I don't know about that. I mean, you could probably not pick it up. And then after 4 years, you have the opportunity, having looked at Trey Lance, to decide whether or not you want to offer him what would basically be a little bit of a bridge deal, which is like, hey, here's a 2-year deal. No one else is coming to get you at this stage. And basically what we're promising you is we're going to rip the contract up after year one. If you just show us that you have the ability to be a mid-level starter or better, we'll go to the table and we'll sign you to a long-term quarterback contract. That's one way you could approach it. Now, that said, Robbie, you would ideally want to pick up the fifth year of the fifth year contract, you know, just for that element of control. So, it's not a great time span on him, especially given that he has not started many games in quite a few years now. But that's also what you're signing up for. And whoever trades for him, I will guarantee you this, has a very specific plan in terms of his timeline.
We'll have more with Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. We continue our conversation with Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, brought to you by the NFL Alumni Association. So, Charles, obviously you are familiar with the Houston Texans, and there's a lot of chatter right now about them either not taking a quarterback at number two or maybe trying to trade out of number two. What do you make of the noise out of Houston that they're going somewhere other than quarterback at number two overall?
Yeah, I think, you know, I struggle to remember. I think we might have talked about this on an earlier show, just this reality that, remember, not every team at the top of the draft necessarily likes four quarterbacks. So if everybody, maybe five, if you're talking about Hendon Hooker being thrown in that group as well. Most teams only like one, two, maybe three. And I really think Houston is one of those teams that's sitting at two, and I think they like Bryce Young. I really do. And I think that if C.J. Stroud were a player to go number one overall, they would take Bryce Young number two. Now, I think if it's flip-flopped and Bryce goes off the board one, then I think the Houston Texans have a question on their hands whether or not they feel like they like the rest of the quarterback class enough to take someone at number two, given that, you know, Alabama's will. Anderson's going to be sitting there. I think they'd look at a pass rusher at two. I think they'd look at swapping out. So in many ways, the draft does begin at one because it's automatically going to affect the Texans at two. Now, the interesting thing about the Texans as well, though, is you have to remember the Texans are the second pick in the second round. And I think if they don't end up going quarterback at number two, they become a trade-up candidate for, you know, from that number 33 pick, potentially to wait and see where exactly, you know, Hendon Hooker ends up landing in this draft. If he slides a little bit, I could see Hooker being sort of that Lamar Jackson type where, and when I say type, I mean a player that maybe trickles down to the first or to the end of the first round, and you have teams that then start to consider whether or not they want to trade back up and get him. I don't know that Houston would take, you know, Hendon Hooker at the 12 spot. I do feel like if they don't end up taking a quarterback at two, they want to get two functional pieces at 2 and 12, or if they trade out of two, that could be surrounding pieces that could help a future quarterback. And the weird thing about the Texans, I was talking to somebody there, and I didn't think a lot of it at the time, but he did bring up Davis Mills and basically without me prompting kind of made the case that, hey, Davis Mills had a pretty good rookie season, you know, did not take the big step we expected in year two, but nobody on our roster really did. It was a terrible year in 2022. And do we really hang that on Davis, or do we, you know, once again, look at him and go, well, we felt pretty good about him in 2021. Maybe we don't want to rush and push the quarterback pick, and we'll give Davis another shot in 2023. Part of me also wonders, too, I don't think they could tank again. I just can't imagine it after the bad season they had in 2022. But we've talked about this. 2024 is a mega draft. It's a mega draft in terms of the quarterbacks, Caleb Williams, Drake May at the top. You're going to have I'm writing a piece right now, and I talked to a number of evaluators about the 2024 draft, because the kind of joke about 2023 is the best pick you can make in 2023 in the first round is not to make a pick at all. It's to push that pick into the 2024 draft, because it's going to be top heavy in the top 15 the way that the 2021 draft was. Go back and look at the 2021 draft. Your listeners should do this. Go back and look at the 2021 draft. Look at the top 15 picks. It's loaded with high-caliber players that are going to factor into the league for a long time. That's how a lot of people are looking at 2024. You have Marvin Harrison Jr., better than any wide receiver on the board this year, okay, would easily outclass any of these wide receivers. You got two quarterbacks, either of which would be the number one pick in this NFL draft. Only one of them had entered. You got a running back coming out of Ohio State who's a three-down running back, better than any running back in this year's draft. It's just everything about, oh, Brock Bowers, the Georgia tight end, even in this deep class of really good tight ends, would be the number one tight end in this draft. It's going to be a super heavy, super heavy star draft in 2024. And I almost wonder if maybe the Texans are looking at that and going, okay, you know, maybe if Davis Mills doesn't work out in 2023, it puts us into a scenario we could potentially try to trade up into the top two picks, or maybe three, because another quarterback will surface and get our quarterback next year.
Double tank, baby. The double tank in your town, Charles.
I'm telling you, watch the Packers, too, because that's another thing that in the middle of the Packers-Jets talk, the Jets definitely have the feeling that the reason why the Packers are really pushing to get this dedicated 2024 first-round pick is because the Packers are saying, you know what, if Jordan Love doesn't work out in 2023, we're going to take our pick, we're going to take the Jets' first-round pick, and we're going to package whatever else we can to try to move up in that draft to get a quarterback. And again, there's two bona fide stars. The question is, who's the third? Who's going to come out? There's always a feeling that you know who the stars are. There's always a quarterback that comes out of the ether, sort of the way Joe Burrow did when he became the first-round pick his final year after his last year at LSU. So it's like, is it going to be Penix, the kid out of Washington? Is it going to be Ewers out of Texas? Like, which quarterback are they not necessarily factoring into the top five next year who will be there? And I don't think if the Houston Texans are thinking about it, if the Packers are thinking about it, that's two of probably 10 that are thinking about how they could maneuver themselves to the top of next year's draft. It's sort of like the Victor Wembanyama effect in the NFL, where you're going to have a lot of teams thinking about that quarterback class next year.
Can I present the name Joe Milton?
Oh, yes, I knew you were going there.
Have you heard anything in your dealings, Charles?
We're going to have the arm conversation, the strength of passing arm.
Could throw it from Nashville to Knoxville.
Yeah. Uncle Rico throws it over those mountains. I'm serious, though.
Yeah. No, I actually talking about the draft class this year, and man, I will not lie to you, teams do not like that Tennessee offense at all. Like, they just, I mean, like, you get into these situations where you ask teams to evaluate players, and then they just rail forever on how impossible it is to figure out how you're supposed to map out what Tennessee players can do in the NFL because of that spacing. Somebody did bring up, after you and I had talked about it and I thought of you, somebody did bring up the fact that, you know, Joe Milton's fire hose was just one of the most ridiculous arms you will ever see. Maybe. I can't say a no, right? I definitely can't say no, but.
I mean, he's better than Penix, man. Don't even give me Penix. I mean, come on.
I'm not saying that he's like, I'm saying there's a quarterback out there we're not talking about now. It could be, absolutely could be Milton, but when I talk to teams about Tennessee's offense, because I'm like, okay, tell me who's good when you watch Tennessee. They got multiple skill position players. All anybody talks about is the ocean of space, you know, in that offense and how hard it is to really evaluate not only the wide receivers, some of which have spent the majority of their career not covered up on the field in terms of defensive attention, and then, you know, even Hooker, where teams who love Hooker, who are like, absolutely think that, you know, when we move him into an NFL offense, there's everything there to believe he will be able to succeed on an NFL level, will also tell you he's very much a one-read, you know, kind of film guy because it's just how their offense is structured, and you just never know. You never know how that really is going to translate into a guy coming into the league next year. But it's funny, when you mention Milton, though, he's that quintessential draft process guy who, once teams see him throw, they're going to be like, oh, my God. Like, he has this his arm. Look how many balls he bounced off the ceiling. That's amazing.
Joe can't wait. He's so excited about it. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Charles.
Joe's been talking about him to me for, like, months.
I'm the Joe Milton beat writer.
Yeah, he is so fired
like
up.
Agent.
Yeah, I'd like to be.
Charles, great stuff as always. Really appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning, and we'll talk to you next week, the official day of the draft.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Looking forward to it. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. We'll take your thoughts on everything Charles had to say there. We got through a lot, covered a lot of ground with Charles Robinson, with Dayton Brugler. We will discuss all of that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.